Buenos días, mis amigos. Bienvenido a Ojo, el podcast filosófico de la duda. Estamos aquí con dos invitados muy especiales que son Katia de México y Nicolai de nuestra pequeña Bélgica para hablar de la energía nuclear. Hola, Katia.
Hola. Muy buen español, estoy impresionada.
Oh, gracias, gracias, gracias. And with that, it will be also our last English, because I've been practicing Spanish for a while now, and this is the first time I have told Katia, which I have known for a while, and she is from Mexico. I met her in Brussels, in Ghent, where she studied her master for nuclear physics.
Yeah, it was the European Master of Nuclear Fusion.
Yeah, European for Nuclear Fusion. Well, and now she is working her PhD in Germany in nuclear plastics, what was it?
It's plasma physics, technically.
Plasma physics.
Yeah, I'm still, it's focused on doing nuclear fusion.
Okay, great. And next to Katia, we also have Nicolai de Mulder, who is an architect in Ghent. He said he will be famous in 2 or 3 days. It just needs, people just have to recognize it.
He's ready for it.
I said I'm ready for it, but he's ready for it. It will happen one day.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's important to be ready.
Exactly, because he has to deal with a lot of pressure then, but at this moment he's ready for his total takeover. He does architecture, mostly focused on environmental architecture, and I've known him from my youth movement for environment and nature.
Yes, that's right.
Exactly. And today we are coming together to talk about nuclear physics.
Nuclear energy, specifically.
Yeah. Nuclear energy, you're right. Excuse me, Katia, thank you.
We can talk about physics if you want.
Well, yeah.
Okay, no. No physics today, or do physics today, but as in the middle, we have nuclear energy we'll be talking about, and more importantly, like, if it's a good thing or a bad thing. We have Katia, of course, who have studied nuclear physics and nuclear fusion, who is the yay party. And on the other side, we have Nicolai, who is the nay party, I presume.
Yeah, we agree on that, right?
We agree on that.
And we'll have a very nice and kind conversation in the meanwhile. But so Katia, let's start with you. You are you have studied nuclear fusion.
Yes.
And you are the one who is defending nuclear energy. Tell me, why is nuclear energy important?
Well, I personally believe we need nuclear energy, and there is no way to deal with the problems from global warming without nuclear energy. But also, I think, first, I would like to clarify that there are two kinds of nuclear energy. Mm-hmm. We have nuclear fission, that is the one that is widely used nowadays for generating energy. That's fission. And we also have nuclear fusion, that is what I'm studying.
Okay.
And that's still in research. We haven't managed to create a reactor that can actually produce electricity, but hopefully in the next years it could be doable.
Okay, so, but this nuclear fission thing, it's kind of exciting because they had a successful test recently, right?
Yesterday or the day before yesterday, there was a nice press conference where JET, that is a machine that is in England, managed to achieve the highest output of nuclear energy from fusion ever.
And which is a good thing.
Which is a good thing, and it's also very important because JET is a small machine. It's not going to be able to actually produce electricity, but it's kind of a test case for ITER that is being built in southern France, which is going to produce electricity. And so the thing that JET is working so good is good news for the experiment.
Great, great. So, but before we go further on this topic, Nicolai, in the many talks we had about nuclear physics and nuclear energy, I have to put it out of my head, about nuclear energy, it's clear that you are against it in the whole way, right?
The whole way. I don't believe nuclear energy at this moment is something we should work with. I don't know all the possible new systems that could make new nuclear plants. I read newspapers. But at this moment, with the nuclear fission, is the right word in English?
Yeah, fission is,
The fission reactors. Well, we had some problems in the past. They are all old. And in fact, also, they will not solve our energy problems at the moment, just because electricity problems, because nuclear energy is in fact only some percentage of energy we're using in the world, but for the electricity in Western Europe countries and nuclear plants take a big part. But anyhow, it's only the electricity energy. Yeah? If we talk about global energy in the world,
yeah,
nuclear
true.
is nothing. But in this context of electricity, I don't believe it can be a solution, just because the solution should be there before we can build a new one. The point where I'm against nuclear energy in the context of Western Europe at these days.
Yeah, okay, great. But the reason why I brought you two actually together is because far before I made my podcast, I always wanted to bring you two together, actually, because in the time that I was living in Ghent, there was like two voices around in my head. I used to go out with Katja a lot, of course, and I also used to go out with Nikolai a lot. And Katja was a vivid, we had a lot of discussions about nuclear energy around that time. Nikolai also had his point of view because of course if Katja is talking a lot about nuclear energy, then at a certain moment I start talking about it to other people, and I always had this interest that you two are so opposite to each other. But through those discussions, I also took those arguments and laid them on each other between the discussions. So it's time to put you two to the test again.
I remember, yeah.
Making your dreams come true.
Yeah, exactly. This whole podcast was just a way to get you two together.
So,
and here we are.
Instead of discussing in your head, now we get to discuss in person.
But look, Nikolai, I want to know, what is your problem with nuclear energy? I can recall, it's like safety and environmental. I think those were your two biggest arguments, or am I wrong?
There are, in fact, for me, with our nuclear power plant, three big issues. Mm-hmm. The first one is the risk of collapse, of course. It happened in Chernobyl, it happened in Fukushima. There is a risk. The second is what is left over after
the waste.
The waste,
nuclear
that
waste.
Thing.
Yeah,
because it's waste.
You're helping him, Katja.
Yeah. But we should help each other. But the waste of a nuclear power plant, it will last longer than between we and the Egyptians. It will last longer and be longer than that safe. So we don't even have a language to speak with the people we give that waste. So it's a big, huge, effective philosophical problem. How can you communicate and explain that issue? And the third one is a political one. Even if we today agree in Europe, we can build safe nuclear power plants, and we agree and we do it like this and that, we still don't agree on Iran doing it. We don't agree on Russia doing it. But we have also a free market. I'm a strong believer in the free market, but it's there. And if you don't...
You are a strong believer?
No, I don't. I'm not a strong believer in the free market
I'm
economy,
not.
But we
okay.
have it. And
okay.
we work with it. And can we, as a society, say we can make safe energy and you can't? Well, I don't think you can do. And that's are my three problems with the nuclear power plants. Voila.
Mm-hmm.
In short.
Can you kind of elaborate your stance on it, Katja?
Okay, yes. Well, do you want me to say why I disagree with the points Nicola made, or I make my points on why I think nuclear fission is necessary?
Say truthfully what your ideas are, even if you agree with Nicola, even better. Then that's
yeah, no. Well, part of it.
No, okay.
No, I mean, first, yeah, I mean, we have very bad accidents with nuclear fission, like Chernobyl, Three Mile Island, and Fukushima more recently. And I do agree they were bad accidents, but when you compare it to the consequences of extracting other kind of energies and dealing with other kind of energies, I think it's, I mean, just dealing with the consequences of global warming, it's way worse than what any of those three accidents cost,
I
right?
want to elaborate on this, because one of the things that Nicola and I discussed a lot during those times is that Nicola is an avid defender of like air energy and
eolic, solar,
like windmills and solar energy. And then when I brought these arguments to Katja, Katja said like, well, no, those are actually bad for the environment because of batteries. Stuff like that.
I mean, yeah, I can discuss about what I think. I mean, renewables, I think, are a very important part to dealing with global warming and being able to reduce our CO2 output. But there is the thing that you don't always have sun, you don't always have wind, so there is no way you can depend only on them.
Nikolai's argument is we will always have wind.
I completely disagree on that
in
point.
In Ghent?
Because, but because simply... We use nuclear power plants for electricity, not for all our energy, for electricity.
Oh, but also renewables are only for electricity.
Yeah. So if we and so the global warming is about all the energy.
Yeah,
now
of
we
course.
Are discussing
and we have
only
to be able to deal with everything else.
And
yeah.
If we don't have sun and don't have wind, we don't have life on Earth in general.
Oh, yeah, but during
the
night...
Wait, sorry. What did you just say, Nikolai?
If we don't have sun anymore, if we don't have wind, it just means that there is no life at Earth.
I mean,
so
but,
we will always
yeah.
have...
Okay, gotcha.
But I don't mean it in that way. It's just that during the night, for example, or during the winters, you don't have, you don't have a reliable amount of electricity that you can get into your network. Yeah. And yeah, of course, it can be solved with batteries. I mean, that's... the thing. We could depend totally on renewable energy if we have enough storage capacity, but we don't have storage capacity. But then you have so much losses. I mean, there is no way to transport energy from the Sahara Desert to here without losing a
we don't need
okay,
Katja, part of
I'm,
it.
I'm going to ask you to let Nikolai speak because his English he needs to work.
My English is a bit slow. I'm sorry, but.
Yeah.
Well, for example, my first point is we always have sun and wind together in Europe. If you interconnect all the North Sea, and there are calculations
studies
done on
this. About,
if you could connect all the North Sea, and in fact we are busy with it, with wind energy, we can produce as much energy as in the... in the Arabic Gulf that they pump oil. It's about the same points. And we use most of our energy during the day, and we have peaks at the morning and at the evening. Well, and we know that during the day we have sun every day, not as much as
not,
we want.
Not every day in Europe.
And there is sun every day. There is not a much sun every day, but there is sun every day. And we have wind energy in general. Yeah, it differs a bit. And when we have peaks in wind energy, it's in the morning and in the evening because of the wind turbines at in the North Sea. Because the wind is going up and off in the morning and evening. And
okay,
you can say it's not enough. You can say it's not enough. And that's true. But a nuclear power plant produces energy a flat curve. And how we solved that in the 80s, we made just an overcapacity, a big overcapacity. And then we told everyone, you should heat with electricity because during the night with these special machines, they put subsidies on it for more than 10 years in Flanders. Why? Because we should deal with a flat curve. Well, if you build an overcapacity in wind, we will also have enough.
Yeah, but then you also have to deal with the surplus. I mean, you have to get rid of it.
Yeah, that we also had to get rid of the surplus of the nuclear power plants last 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good point, but I think it's easier to control the output of nuclear energy than it is to control the ones coming from renewables, from solar and eolic mostly.
You think can it's I, easier yeah, to put them off? Because I think my solar panels here produce too much, they switch it off at Fluvius office, digital, poof. And if the wind turbine make too much, they just turn it out of the wind and it doesn't produce anything.
It's not as easy as that. I mean, you cannot really turn the eolic, like the big, no, but
okay,
the big
okay.
turbines. Okay, but okay.
okay, fine. Like, one aspect that we have talked about renewable energy, but one aspect is, can you explain, Katja, the how nuclear energy...
like the benefits of it?
Yeah, exactly. Because that's I think, because we are looking at renewable energy, which is a good thing, but the whole idea and the debate, I think, is about the fact that nuclear energy wouldn't be renewable. And you, Katja, say that it would be. So can you elaborate on that, please?
Yeah, well, I think the major selling point of nuclear energy is that, of course, you don't have CO2 production while it's operating. Other thing is that you need a very, like, it's very efficient, like, you need very little fuel in order to produce huge amounts of energy. So it makes it very reliable. Like, you can produce as much as you want, basically. And, well, yeah, that's, I think, are the two main points of it. And why I think mm-hmm. it's important for dealing with the electricity
but
problems.
But you do have the nuclear waste, right?
You do have the nuclear waste, and that's a problem because, yeah, as Nicolas says, it's, yeah, it remains radioactive for a very long time. And right now, the way we solve... Thousands of years.
Yeah, okay.
Without it being processed, it can be processed to be slightly reduced, but yeah, I mean, it doesn't make much of a difference. Mm-hmm. So the way we are dealing with it right now, it's building deposits on salt mines mostly, or places that you know are dry and are going to stay closed for a long time and throw it there. It's like we can do that because there is not so much residue, like so much waste you get of it, so you can just keep it there. But yeah, I agree that it is a problem we are living for future generations and might not be the best way to deal with it. But I also...
But, yeah, no, go on.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot what I was going to say, so you can...
Yeah, but you like when I remember our talks about it, you said there should be a solution when we work towards it?
I think there... I mean... We have gotten better at it. We have gotten better at being able to kind of recycle it and be able to obtain some of the radioactive residuals of the waste and use it against for fuel in the plants. It's not done everywhere, but it's done in several countries.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's expensive process and stuff. But I also think there is not so much research being done on how to deal with them. And I think if we just invested more money in nuclear energy, it would be possible to deal with that problem. I think it's a solvable problem. I don't think it's something that we don't know the physics of. I think we know how to make it work. We just need to be able to deal with making it economical.
And the argument, of course, is because everybody is shying away from nuclear energy.
Yeah, everybody is
scared
of nuclear energy.
We invested for quite a while... very much money in nuclear power plants in the world in general, and we are still investing, and there are made huge profits on it. So saying that there is not enough money in nuclear research, I could disagree on that one. I'm sure we should everyone should be concerned of the research on the nuclear waste, because it's our waste of our time. And it's not only the waste of the nuclear power plants, of course, we have also medical nuclear waste and all these things. So, of course, we should invest on it. But saying now that we should invest more in nuclear energy because with all these benefits of all these plants in the world, we still didn't manage to find a solution for the waste. Yeah.
Well, but we stopped quite long ago trying to make it, to deal with it. But yeah, but okay, yeah, I mean, I do see your point, and I think...
Was nuclear waste a concern when nuclear energy first came onto the market?
Good question.
Like, people were worried about it, or...?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they just assumed they were going to deal with that later. But I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not familiar with how it happened. But also, I think we often tend to forget that also, like, extracting things from mines produces a lot of residues and produces a lot of waste that it's being dealt with in even worse ways. And it's also a problem for the long time, so... I don't think it's such a strong argument against it.
But nuclear waste is not just something you can.
Oh no, but extracting coal also produces nuclear waste.
And is then like windmills and solar panels then not the better option?
But then you also, I mean, well, first I strongly believe you need to build batteries in order to be able to use them as your only source power. We don't have. I mean, we are working on that, people are working on that, but we don't have a solution right now for that. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, you do need to extract a lot of materials to build solar panels. You need to extract rare metals to build your eolic turbines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it depends on the type of turbine. But it's true that a lot of rare materials come from, I think, one mine in China even. But we can deal with it. There are turbines made by other materials, it seems. But yeah, we should also invest.
Why does the argument for we can deal with it work for renewable energy and not for nuclear energy, Nicole?
Well, we can deal with it.
That's exactly my point.
because we can deal with it because we can deal with it in terms of a company can deal with it. And a wind turbine, all this life cycle, the recyclement, you can insure, for example. You can just pay the insurance that it will be done. And it's calculatable that we can do. There is no nuclear power plant that will be ever insured because the risk is just too high on one thing. And I agree that renewables...
You distribute the energy over several sources, while with a nuclear power plant, it's one source. Is that what you're saying?
That's a part of the point, but it's more that the risk of nuclear power plant is huge. So it's not just big, it's not just huge, it's unimaginable huge. So it's between us and the Egyptians, or longer. So even if you could calculate that, we cannot imagine.
The Egyptians still exist, Nikolai. Don't forget.
I'm sorry, but the ancient. I'm sorry for all the Egyptians today. I apologize.
But something I would like to say about that.
Yeah.
I mean, aren't the problems we are living with the huge production of CO2 just as bad and as long-lasting as nuclear waste is? I mean, we are generating problems on the long term.
Isn't that kind of a non-argument? Because if we can solve these problems, it should be like a good thing, right? It's not because we have another problematic problem that this problem should be ignored.
Yeah,
so we have a huge climate issue. I don't even think that's really true. In the sense of humanity, it's true. If we have a big collapse of climate change, then it's just we are done. But if that would happen, and we would really agree on doing much, much coal, and we will flood everywhere, the nuclear power waste will still be there. It will be still a problem for the world, not for humans, because they will be all drowned. But it will be
but for the animals.
And that's what my point is about the energy mm-hmm. crisis. It's not, we are talking now about electricity crisis, and the electricity is in Europe quite a bit of the energy consumption, but in the world nuclear power plants are really small, and in the total generation of energy, so it's in fact a tiny part of the climate problem that you could solve with nuclear energy. So,
but isn't that where nuclear fission comes in?
No, because we have just not enough enough electricity cables in the world to even if we would make a reactor of then we could never use all this energy to solve all the energy problems of the world, because it's cars, it's planes, it's
and also industry doesn't always use electricity. I mean, they use
and other sources to
do things.
So energy, it's not only electricity.
Yeah, that's true, and that's an important point to always take into account.
We have to solve the electricity problem. That's true.
And also with this big rise in electric cars and people trying to market electric things as being like green,
environmentally
friendly, even though if your electricity doesn't come from an environmentally friendly place, then it's not. But
but if we agree on making a lot of electricity for all those electricity cars, then we are even not better off, because all this energy has to be made and all these batteries of these cars. Well, electricity cars are of course not a really good thing for the environment. They are comfortable, true. We can do what we like with it.
Okay, let's go back to the nuclear energy thing, because I mean we have a lot to discuss about then, but. Then we would take several podcast episodes. It's, I mean, fine, but let's focus with nuclear energy.
Yeah, so there is also the option of nuclear fusion.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. There is a lot of debate going on whether it's going to be ready on time for playing an important part for reducing our carbon
goals. I have to say, Katja, you're not making a good argument for your side.
Nuclear fusion would be incredible if we managed to achieve it on time.
But we have done something, right?
I mean, we have, like, we know it works, we just don't have it to the level required to produce electricity.
They said it would be workable around 2050?
Yeah, I mean, right now the European roadmap to it says that by 2050 we will have the demo plant that it's gonna make sure. And there has been a lot of how is it called, like small companies popping up recently trying to make it work faster, but maybe faster is very probably in 20 years.
And how much energy this first plant would make? This first European plant, how much?
Yeah, demo. I'm not sure. I actually don't know the number.
But is it like one nuclear fusion plant, or is it 10, or is it hundreds in scale?
I think it would be like one, like the equivalent to one fusion plant. That's what they are aiming for. But
Europe or for a land or for?
Oh, I mean that the first one is going to be a European enterprise. Well, I mean,
Russian has nothing on us anymore.
No, but actually the United States and England are trying to get smaller ones to work.
Okay.
And faster.
So that would be a good thing.
That would be a good thing, because with fusion, you don't have nuclear waste.
Waste in it of the old plants.
What I understood about it is that you're kind of making a small sun inside of a container.
Yeah, exactly. That's the idea with fusion.
And from the plasma coming out of that sun, we make energy.
Yeah, we try to reproduce what the sun does, but in a small scale, and get energy out of it. So that's exactly what we're trying to do, but it's slightly complicated.
Like if something goes wrong, we all die.
No, that's actually also a very good thing about fusion, that you don't have the problems with accidents, because you actually need to input some energy to keep it contained and to keep the reaction going. As soon as something bad happens and you don't have energy input anymore, it just breaks and stops. I mean,
there is meltdown cannot happen because it will not heat and heat and heat. It will cool down if you stop.
Yeah, once you stop, it just it will not heat anymore ever.
Are our nuclear power plants at this moment in danger of meltdown right now? Because that's the whole thing about, like, in Belgium we have one of the... Do we have the oldest power plant in around? Katja, do you know this?
I don't know that.
We have, at least we have one of the oldest power plants. And I think there's a lot of concern about what's happening with it right now. But one of the arguments that Katja kind of made about, that we should break it down, but we could always replace it with a newer one. Right?
I mean, we have better designs now.
But then again, from that argument, I was like, one of the reasons we have such a big deficit in Belgium is because we made those power plants, and making a new one is going to take a lot of resources. And in France, they are making a new power plant. Correct me if I'm wrong, of course. But the cost price of this is also going up and up and up and up and up. And they don't know at how much money it will end up. So is that's still a viable way to make economically sense to make a new power plant?
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the main problems, that the new designs are like, they have been very careful that the chances of things going wrong are very small. So of course you have to do like, everything has like a three levels of protection, that if something fails, there is something that protects it, and then something else and something else. That's why they are so expensive to build, but that also makes them very safe. And yeah, the economical viability, I mean, I guess it depends at the end of the day on how expensive is producing energy from other sources. I mean, that's what...
Yeah, at the moment, wind energy is not expensive, eh? It's never is well in Belgium. The price of the energy in the globe in the market is it's made, or it's pointed by the most expensive energy source for the electricity to make that point. Because
but isn't that like wind. one windmill? How much energy can that produce? Because isn't that quite small in the end? Because you need a bunch of them.
It's a
And not only them. I mean, you need to get the whole electricity network set up to make them work.
Yeah,
which is also like a big investment.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do agree it's probably cheaper than building.
Okay, let's say we are at...
The problem is with nuclear power plants, you need like a huge initial investment, and then it can...
Okay, let's say we're the Belgian government. Yes, we've done it, people. We are elected.
Finally.
We're going to decide about the future of our energy crisis here in Belgium. How are we going to solve this? Are we going to go wind energy all the way? And just like, of course, any good political state, we are in disagreement, of course. Eh? Yeah. But are we going to go wind energy all the way? Solar electricity all the way? Are we going to go nuclear energy all the way? We can make a case
for all these options. Adrian,
okay.
That we should make,
and let's
I think
go.
We could agree on that, that we are some decades too late to make a good decision about it.
Okay.
We made decisions, but it seems nobody agrees on anyhow. So I think that's the first thing we should agree on, that we are fucking late.
Okay, but
we are
late, and it's no use to think about it right now, and we are too late, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to solve what we can do, what we can do right now. So if we say, we had this we made bad decisions. Okay, fine, we made them. Let's make a solution for the time now.
Do you also agree on it, Katja, or not?
Oh, yeah, that we are incredibly late. I totally agree. These decisions should have been made 20 years ago, not now.
First, the shame of the government. We should be sad. And,
name of the government, I apologize for all the mistakes.
Yeah, we agree on that point. Good.
Okay, good. One thing. Yeah, but also on that point that we are extremely late, I think mm-hmm. it would be a waste of our already installed resources to shut down our power plants. I mean, we already made the investment for them. We already know how they work. We already have a place to put our waste in where there is more waste. So why not just use it as much as we can? I mean, I think it would be just a waste to stop using all that energy and all that knowledge.
Yeah, I disagree on that because of, in fact, two reasons. First, if we would have stuck to the plan and closed the power plants on the date it was in the law, there were investors who had invested in whatever source. The reason that there is a lack of investment is just because we keep discussing, should we close it now or in 5 years or in... And of course, I will not invest in it if there is a power plant that is already paid that can produce more energy and can make huge benefits for France, in fact, not even for Israel, because ourselves, because we sold it to the French. And the second point why I would not do that is if we would agreed on closing these power plants, then we would have been one of the first nations in the world that would be have a safe procedure for demolishing a nuclear power plant, which is, I think, a very interesting point of view in a industrially, economically sense, if we as Belgian scientists would know how to demolish it in a safe way. It would never be happened, I think. Maybe they are doing it in the US at the moment. I'm not sure.
But I mean, why do you want to be the first on that when you can just keep having energy being produced?
Because yeah, energy also, being produced and stopping all investments in other energy sources.
No, but
which
but
you
I
need for sure.
I mean, if you're building new ones, I think I do agree with that. It might take funding that could go to renewables, going to the construction of new power plants. But I think if we had stopped using our nuclear power plants, I don't know, when was it planned to do? 10 years ago? I'm not sure about
not
what Belgium
so
wanted
so
to do.
Yeah, I think 5.
But anyway, I mean, we didn't have the resources at that time to produce clean energy. All that power could have been substituted by burning coal or gas or something else.
Can I kind of like read between the lines what we're saying? Is it a bad idea to make a new power plant? Is that what we're saying?
I mean, that's not exactly. I mean, I'm just saying building new power plants requires more money and it might be a different... I think it's a different decision whether you keep the ones that you have running and if you build new ones.
But if you build new ones, it's a new reactor on the same site probably, which would reuse a lot of the infrastructure, no? Because in
you can do that. But you can also keep using, I mean, some of the ones that are running right now can be used still for some years.
Okay, great. People, I have to kind of interfere because we don't have a lot of time anymore left. Mm-hmm. And I want to go bring things together into a conclusion. Mm-hmm. We have debated, I'm pretty sure we can keep on debating for hours straight on end. And then for years, exactly.
I hope we will be faster than our government, no?
we try. Of course. Can I kind of try to make a synopsis about this? Mm-hmm. And if you agree or disagree, tell me afterwards, or like stop me from going on. But like nuclear energy, for the essentials we have right now, Katja says we should keep them for as long as they're viable.
Yes, I agree.
Let's just stay there. Nuclear energy making a new central would be, for Belgium at least, a huge investment which may not come back in, but what we should keep on investing in is nuclear fission. Because if we have that, fusion.
Yeah.
Okay. Nuclear fusion.
Fusion is a good one.
Fusion is a good one. Which, let's presume, has absolutely no negative side effects.
That's the solution.
That's the solution. But for Nikolai, his standpoint is like, let's not keep on putting our chips anymore onto the nuclear centrals and go all in onto renewable, or what we call renewable energy. Am I wrong? Are there any statements in here that you are like, no, sorry?
I not agree completely on the last part. So we should not only invest in research for renewables, because we have the waste. So we should keep finding solutions for the waste. So we should have nuclear physicians thinking about it, because it's a huge issue. And of course, I think fusion might be a solution. I don't know this technology well enough to have an opinion about it yet. If it would be brilliant, then someone should come on with it. But my point is, it will not be for my generation to solve this energy crisis with fusion, because it will never have built enough power plants in my life. And of course, we can invest in the research on it. I hope we do.
But one of your arguments is, of course, that energy is important for the next generations, not just this generation. It's a question for all time that we have to think in the future.
Yeah. So not for my children, probably, but maybe for my grandchildren, if I will have some day once.
Hopefully for your children.
Yeah, that's your specialty, when that will might be ready and might be. Not only technically ready, but also we as a society could decide it is safe enough, because physicians in the 60s told us these ones were good. So it's not only the point that it should be safe, but we should also, with all our society, believe that it's safe. And
okay,
for
Katja,
the world, not for Belgium.
Okay, safety is not something we really discussed in this episode, but I mean...
Yeah.
Time. Katja, your basic gatherings about
my final
nuclear
thoughts.
Energy.
I still believe we need to at least think about nuclear energy. I think we cannot just say, oh, it's nuclear, it's bad. Let's just consider it at the same level with everything else, because however, whichever way we choose to produce energy is going to have consequences, whether it's for the environment, whether it's for the society. I mean, there are always things we need to consider. So let's just have an open mind to everything.
But what should we do with the central in Belgium?
Let's keep using it as long as we can.
Okay.
But do you believe they are still safe? Just to
I think they are. I mean, I can visit the power plant.
Let's do this
the
safety thing very fast.
Very fast safety check of the Belgium.
Of the Belgium. We are doing it like the politicians.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I mean, you have a concern that they are not safe, Nikolai, and you do, Katja, say, don't worry. Or worry, but not...
My
worry
concern is not that they are not safe or not...
No, let Katja speak for a second.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, maybe Nikolai can go first and then I can elaborate.
No, but we don't have the time.
Yeah,
just,
but Katja will have the last word on it, but I'll...
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
okay,
Katja.
Okay, so I go. So I think we have learned enough from the previous accidents. At least the ones in Belgium are operating with the best security we can think of. They are not connected to the outside world to make sure that we avoid any trouble. And I mean, we are prepared in case
of
a leakage.
Are they safe?
They are safe. And even if something, in the very rare occurrence that something bad happens, if there is a small leakage of radioactivity, people living around the power plants are given iodine tablets that will protect them.
And will that protect them?
Yes.
in case of a meltdown?
I don't think meltdown is a real possibility with the power plants right now. Yeah, it has happened already, making incredibly terrible choices.
Belgium and... Oh.
I mean, it was an older design of power plant, like the one in Chernobyl, and yeah.
But you have the design of the power plant, but you have also the people running it. If you have seen the movie about Chernobyl,
yeah, I've seen
it's in fact not about the technology. I don't believe it's only a point of of course, technology makes things safer or not. But even one of the directors of the FANC, the one that are controlling the nuclear plants, didn't believe anymore they were fair strong enough to be able to check the things in a fair way. And if that not happens, the technical point, almost nobody in society can agree on it, because it's very, very complex, and there's the discipline of the nuclear physics and the discipline of the things around and the cooling, which is then hydro blah blah physics, and then you have all the concrete around with this cracks in. That are all different disciplines. And it's a human thing to make it safe or not. And I just don't believe we as humans can say that we will do it safe in our world.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. There is always human factor and people always make mistakes. But I also think the current designs are taking more and more into account the fact that people are going to make bad choices.
Mm-hmm.
Katja, is it impossible for nuclear disaster?
No, it's not impossible. I mean, there is always a small chance that something is going to go
terribly
bad.
And what's the small chance we're talking about here?
I mean, I don't have the numbers. I cannot tell you right now what is it going to be.
But like, not in numbers speaking, or in like probability, is it something we should be afraid of?
No, I think it's not something we should be. I think there are worse things to be afraid of. I think there are more, other things that are going to be worse. And yeah, I don't think you should be worrying about the potential of a nuclear meltdown.
Okay, let me, before we go, like, we really have to shut it down. But I have had a lot of talks with both of you about this in the time that you both were staying in Belgium. We, of course, are now in different times and stuff like that. After hearing a lot of arguments from both sides, and of course this podcast is like a fraction of it, of what we're talking, I think in the end nuclear energy is viable. Hey!
Yay.
This one goes to Katja. But there are a lot of considerations to be made, and one of them is indeed economical, and I don't know if like it's a good idea to keep on investing on nuclear energy in Belgium at least, and it's kind of like a rat race to even keep doing so, and we should still be keep on going on into investing in alternative things, because if we don't, and if we keep on going on nuclear energy, then now Katja has convinced me during this talk that nuclear energy is safe, and I have trusted her enough to put on my chips on that side. Of course, if we keep on talking about nuclear fusion is as the big Valhalla where we have to go, then we should keep on investing on nuclear energy. But of course, when will we get there? That having said, those are my conclusions during the whole debate that I've been hearing between you two. And I'm pretty sure it's not going to be over. Maybe we should even do a second episode, because we are already 10 minutes over time. Jesus!
We could keep on talking about this forever.
Yeah, I can't believe it. But fine. For now, I have the last say in this matter. But if I really have a last say, I think it's a nuanced problem, and we can't just take one side of the other blindly in this. I think the reason why there is so much trouble of it is because it is a very not black and white.
I agree. It's a very complicated topic, and I would like also to mention that not even like people whose job is to do research on this and understand it perfectly, not even them, they can agree. I mean, there is not one solution. It depends on how you're looking at it. So there are too many things to consider.
From your side, do you feel that after hearing these arguments, which of course we could have talked much longer about it, but is there any kind of gift you want to give to the pro nuclear energy side?
Well, what I agree with you is that you, of course, between the black and the white, there is not a gray mass of opinions. There is between red and white. There is red, blue, and yellow, and not gray. Of course, there are interesting things happening also in nuclear physics and nuclear techniques. And I hope they will find a solution that will convince me once.
Okay,
we're working
but you're
on
not
it.
Convinced. Okay, fine. I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Katja for being here. I want to thank Nikolai for being here. You are most certainly both very interesting people, and I'm very happy that you two took some time to discuss this matter with me. If it seems interesting enough to do a second episode, maybe we should, but we'll see about it.
Yeah,
I would thank
the public to where we
maybe we can invite.
I would about the public speaking, I would talk everybody listening to this episode to be here and to think about this problem, and I would like to ask everybody to keep on debating this. Keep on debating a lot of problems in the world. If you want to keep on listening to our podcast, you can find us on nearly every streaming platform who has a podcast function. But you should know that already because you are listening to it right now. /och by Adriaan Verdonkt. You can see our main place at anchor.fm/och-och-podcast. And you can follow us on Facebook on facebook.com/och-och-podcast. O-C-H-O-C-H podcast. I would thank everybody for listening. I would thank our both hosts. Thank you all again. And keep on doubting, everybody. And have a good and a great day. Goodbye!